Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
Today we are looking at the big eight in marital fulfillment. You see, one of the things you need to remember in marriage is this. That living and cleaving is an act. But becoming one flesh is a process. When they paid dowry and you left your father's house, it's an action. The wedding is done. But a lot of people spend all your life preparing for wedding and never prepare for marriage. It's after the wedding that marriage begins. You were just joined at the altar to begin the marriage. Second thing is this. Even though early romantic feelings may fade away, it doesn't mean that the love has dried up. Don't get confused in your home that the way you were having tingling sensations on your stomach when you see the girl has stopped, so you don't love her again. You still love her. That's why some people say, I don't feel anything again. Whether you feel it or not, you are committed to her by covenant. Continue. Love is a commitment. Love is not a feeling. And all the young boys and girls that keep saying, hey, whenever I see him, I can't breathe. It's asthma that is worrying you. It's not. It's not love that is worrying you. So please, don't become somebody that is very frustrated because you are not feeling too much emotion. One man was quarreling with his wife. He said, I was a fool when I married you. The woman turned to him and said, I was so much in love, I didn't notice you were a fool. I was so much in love, I didn't notice. Please, brothers and sisters, just calm down. That it didn't look like you're feeling the thing again doesn't mean it's not there. Don't run away from a good person because you're not feeling a foolish emotion. So please, get set to make your home work. The third thing I want to remember is this, that any couple that finds fulfillment in one another can face whatever life brings. Just find fulfillment in one another. Whatever life brings, you can face it. It is extremely important that your home satisfies you. That the person you say, I love, satisfies you. That you find fulfillment in the one choice you made. That's why we tell you, do your best to make the right choice. And after you made the choice, do your best to celebrate that choice for a lifetime. It won't be wonderful every day. It won't be exciting every day. But your commitment is what makes it worth the while. And after some time, the beauty of it and the grace of it will keep multiplying. I speak over you today. Your home will be a testimony. So the big eight we are looking at, the first four we are going to look at today is this. Accept your spouse fully. If your home is going to have fulfillment, accept your spouse fully. Second thing, communicate with grace. Third thing, integrate into each other. And fourth thing, open your hand generously. So let's deal with accept your spouse fully. You see, whenever a young man is running around looking for a girl, or a young girl is looking for a husband, there's no challenge. That you looked at A, looked at B, looked at C, looked at D, looked at E, it's not a problem. In fact, you are free to look at 365 people. Every day, find one, look at the person. Is it the one? No. Is it the one? No. Don't let anybody make you not look. Keep looking, no. Anybody teaching you not to look at all is lying. You say, but they told me to pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. So. While you are praying, with one eye closed, one eye. So that you can keep your eye on what is going on. But you see, the day you walk to the altar and say, I do, it simply means the search is concluded. You are no longer looking again. You are no longer seeking again. You have found what you are looking for. Only a fool keeps searching after he found. And now when you find what you are looking for, don't be surprised that when you get back home and open the package, it doesn't look perfect. Because you are not perfect and nobody is perfect. And they were both naked. And the man and his wife, And they were not ashamed. Now, when you get back home, you are going to see the person in the person's nakedness. I'm not talking about physical nakedness only. I'm talking about emotional nakedness, spiritual nakedness, financial nakedness, communication nakedness, every kind of nakedness. You're going to see. All of us wear cloth here. Anybody wear get crocodile, you don't know. I told you of the young man in Australia that got married and they went to the beach and the wife came out from where she was to jump in the river and the young man said, I'm not marrying again. It was on their honeymoon. She has removed the eyelashes, removed the pancake on the face, removed the wig, removed everything. And the young man said, this is not what I married. All the time I saw you, you were different. He said, don't you know that women make up? He said, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I'm filing for divorce. And he went to file for divorce. That the girl deceived him. With beauty that she imported. When you get back home and they come up the thing, you know there's some scrape. They use knife. That's where you are going to see the real person. Now some of them is in their character. The girl that be answering you good morning, sir, and all of that is only to get home. When she goes home and sits down now, and then you say, now let's discuss. That's when you hear the tune of her voice for the first time. But when you see all of those things, they are both naked. That's when managing the home becomes your responsibility. That's when the nakedness shouldn't make you ashamed. Because unconditional love creates security in relationships. People come into our lives with baggages. They come with issues. You need to love them unconditionally. Everyone has quirks. Everyone has faults. But those things are not deal breakers. They're just human frailties. So accept them, love them, care for them, and then work together to improve. Somebody shout amen. Amen. One of the things that causes misery in relationship is the mentality of until my partner changes and becomes what I like, I won't love him, I won't love her. It leads to marital misery. You don't withhold love until somebody changes. You love the person until you see the change. And even if the person doesn't make the change, you still love the person. Outside of that, you are going to have a divorce or have enduring to the end. Because some people won't change. So you either divorce or you endure to the end. But if you love unconditionally, whether it changes or it doesn't change, your life goes forward. The person you left because somebody, some things in his life didn't change. Another person will marry him and live with him. And you find that they actually enjoyed life. I lift my hand over you. In the name that's above every name, the Lord make your home sweet. You see, you can have treasure and focus on the floor until your treasure looks like trash. The gear you have is treasure. The man you have is treasure. But you keep focusing on one floor until the treasure begins to look like trash to you. When you keep trying to change people, it opens the room to being critical and being intolerant. God can change the person, but don't nag to change. Accept the person fully. Many times, all of this issue of incompatibility and irreconcilable differences is only a question of maturity. When a person is mature, some things you look at, my mother will say, that there's something you look at and you look at it and look at it and not say a word until it dies. You don't have to quarrel about everything. Some things you are even quarreling about, if you reframe it, it will become humorous. You are fighting, you are ready to kill. If you reframe it, I will never forget. I was in my uncle's house so many years ago. I came into the house. And then he was doing something. And I had him pollute the air. I think he was trying to hide it, but it didn't work. So the thing just came out, poo. I didn't say a word. And then the wife shouted, I wanted to run out of the bed when my uncle grabbed her. I said, sit down here. When we are younger, you'll enjoy it. You see, some things that you are fighting about, if you make it humorous, you will enjoy it. In the name that's above every name, let your home walk. Amen. Accept each other fully. Listen to me. Why you are busy looking at somebody's fault? I hope you know you have your own. I hope you know that while you are trying to change the other person, the person is also looking at some things to change in your life. While you are looking for the ideal wife, are you the ideal husband? While you are looking for the ideal husband, are you the ideal wife? So calm down and accept the other person. And let's see how God helps us to make life meaningful. Life is too hard that you don't start a battle from the house. Why don't people accept their spouses fully? The first reason is the spirit of comparison. Look at the other person's wife. Look at the other person's husband. Look at how he behaves. I remember the story the man of God told a few days ago about the people that were quarreling with a brother in church. They said the brother is making them look bad. Their wives all comparing him, his behavior, with their own. Because every Sunday as they arrived in church, he will come out of his car, walk across, and open the door for the wife. So all the women calls him and say he's a gentleman. Brother Titus is a gentleman. He's always opening the door for the wife. Why can't you be more like him? So one day they confronted him. The brother laughed. He said, you don't understand. The door, no, they open from inside. The brother don't open from inside. So he had to come out, walk across, and bring out the woman from the prison of the door. Brothers and sisters, please. What you saw, you didn't see. The grass is always greener on the other side. But any grass you see very green, somebody is watering it. Water your own. If she's only skinny, brother, she was not this big when she came. All the work you did got her that way. Enjoy it. Her body changed after the first baby, after the second baby. Enjoy it. Stop complaining. You talk this one, talk that one, talk that one. No. If only my husband can do like this, can do like this. I know of a lady that was celebrating a car her husband gave her that I know she bought. The man doesn't have the money to buy the car. But she was celebrating the car. Why? Just out of loyalty in the marriage. Go buy your own. Give your husband. Make him give you. What your husband can do, try and help to do it. What your wife can do, try and help to do it. Stop comparing. The second thing that makes people not accept the other person fully is focusing on the past. Things have happened in your past. Either before you got married or after you got married. There's been some hurts. There's been some failures. There's been some issues. Brothers and sisters, nobody goes forward looking backward. The rear view mirror is very small. The windscreen is wide. Because the people that made the steering want you to focus up. If you are going to look back, it's just that small thing. You glance at it and continue your journey. He cheated on me 7 years ago. My heart broke. My heart has not returned. If your heart has not returned, pack your ngongo. Go. So that you can find peace and the man can find peace. You can't be in this house punishing me for 7 years. I want to touch you. I can't touch you because something happened 7 years ago. I want us to go out. No. Every time you are quarreling, every time you are reminding me, pack your ngongo. If you can't get over it, let's get over each other. Calm down and get this done. Am I talking to somebody here? Get this done. Get it sorted out. Get over it. You can't live in bitterness for life. You can't be punishing me for one offense. I'm not serving a life sentence. Your prison not the end. Every day I have to keep apologizing for not remembering your birthday 3 years ago. Thunder fire Zeta. Stop focusing on the past. Get over it and move forward. Yesterday ended last night. Today is a new day. Reframe your life and move on. He said, I can't love him. I can't love him. He spoils something in my heart. That's why I'm saying, if you can't love him, you can't marry him. Marriage for marriage's sake is not the program of God. So you get out of that and love you. He said, but Pastor, I need to heal. 7 years is a long time. 3 years is a long time. 1 year is a long time. Until the church begins to confront people headlong, these things will continue. We can't keep living in bitterness. You say, oh, he has not apologized. If he has not apologized, forgive him unconditionally. Forgiveness and reconciliation begins in somebody's heart. Start with giving him love on credit. For your own sake. For your own sake. You don't release people because they deserve it. You release people because God gave you love. We are a church that hates divorce. We are a church that honors marriages. We are a church that stands by homes. That's why I'm teaching you like this, because your home cannot be an evil place. Where battle and darkness and contention and confusion is there. If you raise children like that, you lost two generations, your own and the next. The third reason people don't accept others is a cover up for their own inadequacy. Many times, people that look at themselves, that have low self-esteem, project it on other people. They keep judging you for their own weaknesses. Any man that has low self-esteem wants his wife to be the best so he can be using her as a crutch. Everywhere he goes, that's my wife, that's my wife, that's my wife, that's my wife. Anywhere you go, you can use a person as to advertise you. No matter how your wife is or your husband is, you be fooling yourself. Do you know why some people that are illiterate want to marry PhD holders? So that the woman can be the replacement for their illiteracy. Do you know why some men can't afford for their wife to look different? Because they want to compete out there with a wife. No, compete by yourself. It's not my beauty that competes for you. It's how much do you have in your pocket? How much impact are you making in life? Stop making me the issue. Make yourself the issue. Every time you're harassing a woman, my friends came to the house, the soup wasn't okay. You, if you cook, you will die. Another reason some people don't accept their spouse fully is the influence of third parties. When you hang around with family members and friends that are always critical of your spouse, you will not be able to accept the person. Your mother always finds something your wife is not doing well. Your sisters and brothers always find something that your husband is not doing well. And when they do that, you don't put your feet down and say, excuse me, you are crossing a line. You are crossing a line. You say, excuse me, mama, yes. Thank you for burning me, but mama, according to the covenant of the Bible, you are now my extended family. This woman is my primary family. I don't negotiate that. Brothers and sisters, please look up here. You see what I just told you now? That's how I talk. I said, mama, calm down. This is what the Bible says. According to the Bible, covenant is thicker than bite. Me and her are one flesh. This is the primary family. These ones are my extended family. I am a Bible person, not a traditionalist. Because many of you want to receive covenant testimonies without being covenant people. You want kingdom life without kingdom responsibility. No. The two has become one flesh, not two fleshes. Just go and apply it. It will work. You see, anytime you learn to stand up for your family, things change. That you don't have to know whether I'm right or wrong to defend me. You just have to know I am your husband. Am I talking to somebody here too? No, that's how he behaves. He behaves erratic. Let us wait. That's how many women will say, he says, behaves erratic. I need to talk to him. She'll pick a phone. Why did you do that? My friend, they say, Anna. So what do you do? Number one, know your spouse's story and motivations. If you're going to accept each other, know the person's story and know the person's motivations. Sit down, get to know your wife. Get to know the things that are making her behave the way she behaves. Get to know some things about her background that gives the cracks. The same thing with your husband. Don't just assume. Get to know the person. And then joyfully love the person and prayerfully guide the person into grace. You know, Ephesians 5:21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Next verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be what? One flesh. I want you to understand. The Bible says Jesus loves the church. Jesus is nourishing the church. Jesus is working on the church to present the church to himself, a glorious church. Have you noticed that after all these many years, the church is still not as good as it should be? Have you noticed that Jesus hasn't walked away? That his presence is still there. His life is still there. His grace is still there. He still covers our nakedness and still forwards us. Do that in your home. Honor your wife. Honor your husband. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Accepting one another in the fear of God. And another thing you need to do, if you're going to accept each other fully, always try to temper your expectations. Temper your expectations. Many of you that are getting married now, please temper your expectations. In everything in life, give a margin of error. There's an attitude you cannot bring to somebody's life. Nobody is perfect. There's no perfect pastor anywhere. If you want to be the perfect pastor, go and start your own ministry. You will find out that you can't meet everybody's expectation. Oh, somebody is sick. You haven't come. I'm not going to come. Because I can't put myself into 10 places. Those expectations are not necessary. Finally, how do you accept somebody? Be patient and positively celebrate their growth.
Every growth you see,
thank God for it.
Keep encouraging the person. Keep making the person know
you are getting better. Not every time you keep picking and picking and picking the wrong ones and keep throwing it at the face of the person until the person gets to a point he stops trying or she stops trying. Because each time you keep harassing somebody with a negative, after some time the person stops making effort. Don't do that in your home. In the big eight, in marital fulfillment, accept your spouse fully. That's the first thing in the eight. Second thing, communicate with grace. I said to you some time ago that communication is the lifeblood of any relationship. When it stops flowing, the relationship starts dying. Anytime in marriage, two of you cannot chat and discuss and gist like friends without being antagonistic and defending one another and defending yourself, that marriage is having problem. And it's not words only that make communication. Your feelings also a part of communication. In fact, psychologists tell us that communication is just 7% words, 35% tone of voice, and 58% body language. So a person communicates more by your body language than by what you say. So when you see a woman come to you and say, when my husband did that thing, I didn't say anything, no. Don't mind her. She talked plenty without saying anything. Do you know there's a way somebody can look at you one corner of the eye and the person has just brought you down? It is anything, no? So when a woman comes to tell you, when my husband was saying that, I didn't say anything. Ask her, how did you look? How was their body language? There are some men also, their silence is enough to say something. The wife is talking and all of that, and then they just stop talking. As if it's a goat that is bleating. So communication goes beyond what I said and what I didn't say. You can wound somebody without saying something. You can have a war begin in your house by what you didn't say, not what you say. So let's get it right. Somebody tell yourself, I'll get it right. So when we're talking about communicating marriage, it's about establishing connection before you even talk about making meaning. And the question you should ask yourself is, me and my spouse, are we connecting? This guy I am dating and we are about to get married, are we connecting? This is what a lot of young people don't tell themselves, particularly young girls who are desperate to wear a ring. They just want to say, I'm married. They don't care. They just, when we get there, we'll sort it out. Sister, 1 month in a loveless marriage, you regret the journey. Believe me. And such homes don't last. The crisis will drive it to extinction. So two persons are not connecting. They can't sit down and gist. Every time they talk, it's argument and quarrel. And they want to go to the altar. As what now? Calm down. This is not working. So you have to connect and then you make meaning. And the most touching communicators are those that speak with courtesy and compassion. In any relationship, what works in the marriage is a man that speaks with courtesy and with compassion. And a wife that speaks with courtesy and with compassion. I tell the pastors that I mentor, any pastor that uses the voice of the pulpit at home, we have a failed marriage. When I leave this pulpit and get home, I am not you. I am not lead pastor. I am somebody's husband. And somebody that is a pastor woman is somebody's wife. When you catch that understanding and you go back home, you relate with a person with the mentality that this is my wife. You don't command her like you command demons. And you don't bully her with God said. You say, oh, this. I say, no, I was in a dream yesterday. The Lord told me, in this marriage, let the Lord tell you in church. In this home, let's navigate it together as husband and wife. That intimidation can work in our grandfather's generation. In this generation, we have people, they didn't just open eye, they added glasses on top of the open eye. It won't work. And many of us grew up in houses where people don't talk very well. When I got married, I just look and say, bring me that thing. And my wife grew up in a place, we don't talk to her like that. I said, get me that thing. And she said, say please. I said, what do you mean? He said, say please. If you say please, I'll bring it. If you don't say please, I just keep quiet. I said, bring me that thing. He said, I won't bring it. She was training her husband. And after some time, saying please became part of my life. And saying thank you became part of my life. Lift your hand. I speak over you today. Receive grace to make changes. Amen.
Colossians 4 verse 6.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Your speech to be with what? Grace. Seasons with what? Salt. You don't communicate to hurt. You communicate to hold, to help, and to heal. You communicate to hold, to help, and to heal. That's what you do with communication as a child of God. Proverbs 12 verse 18 said, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You don't speak and it pierces people. The tongue of the wise is health. And listen to me. The beginning of marital communication is friendship, genuine friendship. When both of you, as young people about to get married, have learned to make small talk. And the reason why a lot of young people don't learn small talk is sex. When a young boy and a girl should sit down and look at each other and talk about their lives and gist and all of that, they're busy on the bed. They are emotionally entangled. They can't sit down and communicate. So when they get into the marriage now, all they've been doing is tangling on the bed. Now it's time for the real talk, and they find out they can't talk to each other. They speak different languages. Their vibes are different. And then they begin to say, we're incompatible. You should have noticed that when you are still being together. And then open up. When people feel accepted, they open up. When people feel accepted, they relax. So please, in that marriage, make it easy for your spouse to talk to you. There are no issues that cannot be resolved if communicated early and communicated rightly. No issue that cannot be resolved if communicated early and communicated rightly. Understand that and please work on that. And many of you here notice that your partner doesn't communicate well. Before you flog it and run around and say, Pastor said, please, adjust first to how he communicates before he's changed. If you don't adjust to that way he communicates, you'll be fighting and there'll be no chance to change. So if he talks nastily, if he talks badly, calm down. Don't respond to the nasty talk first. Accept the way he communicates before you manage the change. It is not accepting that creates the wrong environment that you can't help him change. Am I talking to somebody here? Now, why don't people communicate well in marriage? Why is it very difficult for some people? Number one, there are some people who are raised with toxic language. You know, there are some homes that the mother raised the children by cussing. Thunder fire you. Your head not correct. Bad head. You're not going foul. This thing you're doing to me, your children will die for you. And then when person is raised like that, he thinks the way of raising children is like that. So he starts shouting at the children, hitting the children, cursing the children. No. I want you to please know this. I've said this many times. The highest spiritual force over a wife is not the pastor, is the husband. The highest spiritual force over the children are the parents. Always remember that. So when you are trying to speak negative over your child, you are creating a future for that child you will not like. Because life and death are in the power. Another reason why people don't communicate well is that some people expect others to be mind readers. So the man will not say what is worrying him. The wife will not say what is worrying her. They expect you to just understand. He must understand. Please, stop forcing us to understand. Tell us, will we understand? Another reason people don't communicate is that angry people make some issues a no-go area. You go into some marriage. The man is an angry man. The wife is an angry person. And you want to communicate to the person. You are afraid of the anger that will blow up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you make an issue, a no-go area. The person is trying to tell you some things, but because he knows that your temperature is always at 99, once more thing, he hits 100 and boil over. So they're always afraid of you. You know, there's some men, as they're coming back from work, their children are running out of bed. Everybody's afraid who Papa will meet first. And they let him deal with this one first before I come out. Not in your home. Calm down, accept the other person. And anytime you want to communicate, reduce your voice. Somebody say, reduce voice. You don't have to fight every battle. Another reason people can't communicate is that they're distracted with career and distracted with children. The man is running up and down. It happened a lot to me. Sometimes your wife wants to tell you something and you are thinking church. Somebody offended you. Somebody is sick. They need money. They need this one and all of that. And it just enters into your brain. The person is talking, but you're not hearing. Don't get distracted with children also. A lot of young ladies just, I'm raising children. Is it not our children? Calm down. You are raising me first before the children. Yes, sir. Never get distracted from the man. Never use children to replace husband. If you do, you will pay. Children, no, they stay long ago. They will move. When they move, it's you and him. And if you build friction, yours will crack, 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 crack. But if you build love, you'll just be flowing smoothly. So what do you do? The most important part of communication is learn to listen. And then know that everybody has a time that's most receptive. And every discussion has a time is most effective. Everyone has a time he is most receptive. And every discussion has a time is most effective. Never bounce on somebody and insist on settling an issue when the person is not ready to receive it. That's why young couples have crisis. And that's why sometimes if they marry somebody who used to be aggressive before, you may end up getting a slap. And they say, my husband is violent. I don't advocate violence. Any area of violence in marriage will deal with you. It doesn't happen. Only people that hit you are crazy mental people. But don't induce a crazy man. He may do something bad. And then one thing you must do is this. Notice how you phrase your words. And intentionally adjust your tone. Notice it. Notice how you phrase your words. Intentionally adjust your tone. There are some times that you are communicating with somebody and you're already getting defensive. Be careful. Notice it. There's a way you don't talk. In any place you are found on earth, there's a way you don't talk. You don't just do anything. Intentionally adjust your voice and tone of voice. Ah, you got angry. No, you are turn the fire. You're a harlot. You are this. Not in this house. We know Chris. He said there are no two people that won't quarrel. No. When we meet, we don't disagree. It no be that one. That one I call madness. Disagreement and madness are not at the same level. Lift up your hand. I cast that madness now in the name of Jesus Christ. And then whenever you are making any issue, you are bringing up any stain that you want your partner to react to, please listen to me. Be patient. Allow your partner some thinking and reaction time. That's how this thing works. But he must answer me. He must answer me. He must answer me. He must answer me. Now in the tear cloth too. No, you're not hearing me. Before you know it now, we hold somebody on the neck. Answer me now. You're not passing. You're not leaving this door. You're not leaving this door. You can't go to work today. No. Allow me to process it. Allow me to look into it. Then I come back and tell you what I feel.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.